around these demons without any rhyme or reason. I guess it's inevitable.
Greetings, geeks, and welcome to another episode of This Geek in Comics. This is TGIC episode 5 for March 11th.
Look it up later.
I think it's March 11th.
Yeah, it's for March 11th, yes.
Yeah. This week's music is brought to you by The Colored Parade, and that song is called I'm Destructible. Please check out their links there. Yeah, thanks to Hot Sauce and Coffee for sending that stuff our way. As always, we're going to talk about this week's comics, last week's comics, whenever.
Yeah, we're a little late this time, yeah, so we're actually late. Talking about it like the day the next comics are coming out.
There was a con this weekend, and I messed our schedule up a little bit. But hey, that's the life of a geek.
Last week was a big week, though.
Yeah, it was a huge week.
Certainly one we really shouldn't have skipped.
Yeah. But there might be spoilers. You're warned. I'm Gomer, and with us is...
Taylor.
And...
Jules.
Awesome. Who wants to go first? Who wants to talk about a comic book that they really, really liked last week?
It wasn't the best comic book I read last week, but I think the most memorable comic book I read last week was New Avengers number 31.
Easily.
So good.
Most of the issue was just a fight scene between Doctor Strange and the Black Swans, but we did have a pretty...
And his Black Priests.
Oh, yeah. Doctor Strange had like two Black Priests versus Black Swans.
Love that. It was a cool fight.
Yeah, it was a great fight. Mostly it was Doc Strange because his black priests were red-shirted because...
Yeah, they really were.
Well, they were infiltrating the Black Swan's headquarters, and they walked into a trap where no one could speak.
Yeah, and that's their whole
that's
deal.
That's their whole shtick, yeah, as they
voice
have words
magic
of power.
Or power, yeah.
Whatever. The point is
But
that
not Doc Strange.
Doc Strange does get overwhelmed by sheer numbers, though, even though he's, like, taking down, like... dozens of the Black Swans.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they drag Doctor Doom to their inner sanctum where he runs across a
I don't know his name. Rabum Alal.
Rabum Alal.
Rabum Alal.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds right.
I said it the first time.
it's a cool word, man. Only Hickman can come up with these fake words.
Yeah. Grand for him. But anyway.
But yeah. We meet him.
And it's Dr. fucking Doom.
That's awesome. What? He's been pulling the strings the whole time?
At least the Black Swan strings. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, it really couldn't have been anyone else, but it was still this awesome reveal moment.
It was a surprise, but then when you really think about it's like, no, that makes perfect sense. That's a surprise.
After just the fight, there's one, two, three pages where it's nothing but build up, and then finally Doom steps out of the smoke and it's like, oh hey Steven.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was really awesome. In a Hickman book it had to be Doom.
It was a
it was classic.
This is very Doom thing to do.
Yeah.
To
be it was the most Hickman thing he could have done
really
with
was.
Any of the books.
It was really Hickman thing with the most Doom action to ever. It was very, very in character for a lot of people here.
Yeah. It was perfect because it's been in front of your face the whole time. Him and the Molecule Man. It seems so obvious now.
Yeah. Well, it does seem obvious now, but in the telling originally, it seemed like Doom and Molecule Man were trying to do what everybody else was doing, to stop the incursions. Yeah. But no, he was causing,
and, you know,
for the most
he's
part.
He's not causing
Well,
them.
He's helping them.
He's talking about how like they're preparing for war with the Beyonders.
Yes. Yeah.
Which...
Well, the war with the Beyonders has to happen once everything else is destroyed, though. So I think that's why Black Swan joined the Cabal, because, hey, that's just going to bring the end quicker.
Yes.
I think... That's the thing I want to talk about, though. Black Swan just seems so much lamer now. She's like, he's talking about like all these mysterious hints of like secret knowledge that she has, and she's nothing but a fool who like
she's Doom's patsy.
It's perfect because the only person she ever opened up to was Reed.
Well, and
it makes perfect sense because if she knows who the Great Destroyer is, she knows it's Doom.
Most Black Swans don't.
Right, and that's
talking
what
about
made
like
her
the ones who are allowed in his inner sanctum have to cut their eyes out so they don't know who he is.
Yeah,
and they talk about. Way earlier, she talks about having seen him and gone crazy for. It was just Doom.
It was just Doom.
It was just so she could mess with Reed to make him out to be this crazy, and it's just Doom.
There was a time when Tony Stark was in one of those little glass cubes, too, and they had a conversation, and it's all about Doom. If you go back and reread it, it's all about Doom. The conversation she has with Terax when he's in there, that's all. Really great writing.
For me, it was a perfect moment where it comes full circle to Hickman's FF run,
yes,
where the Hall of Reeds told him, "You have to end, Doom.
Yeah.
Because Doom will always bring the end."
There is no threat in any universe that's greater than Doom.
That's right, man.
And it goes right back to that line.
Yeah,
so many years ago that Hickman put in there, and sure enough, here we are, the end of everything. And who is the cause?
Dr. fucking Doom.
Because Reed chose family and wouldn't kill his Doom.
I definitely needed this issue in the build-up to Secret Wars, because it's been a long build-up, and I'm getting tired. I want Secret Wars to get here, but this was really refreshing. It was really fun, and it felt good.
We're in the final leg now.
Yeah, yes. We're in the last, the home stretch, but...
We've got, like, April's issue. Like, the rest of March is, and then April's issues are going to come out.
Well, what does this say? In 2 months, so...
In 2 months, this came out last week, and I think it is supposed to start in May, so...
Yeah, so we get 4 more, maybe 6 more issues.
The way they're pumping them out, there could be a dozen
more
issues.
Yeah, right. Every week, it seems there's 2 Avengers books, man.
No, cool reveal.
Very cool reveal. Fun book.
It's one of those things where, like, you're not... It does... It's one that, in retrospect, okay, I should have seen this coming, but it's still, like, it couldn't have been anyway.
Yes, yeah.
It makes absolutely... Perfect.
It was a really, really fun moment. Almost surreal, you know, at the end. It was like, oh, wow, of course, duh. I felt like an idiot, you know, but yeah. I always feel like an idiot.
Dr. fucking Doom.
Dr.
Even on the cover, it's Doom's cloak, but just
black. And I never thought about that. I was like, oh, right. Of course it's Doom.
I think this is going to go down as one of the best runs of Avengers ever.
Ever.
Hickman has really told a concise and self-contained story over the course of years.
Well, like, I guess on the short list you have like a Kurt Busiek's late 90s, early 2000s run with Ultron
the
Omnibus Unlimited
on the table.
Like that.
It's a phenomenal run if you haven't read it. It's going to be... I will remember it as one of the best runs.
I will, too. Yeah, I will always go back to this as one of the most fun runs.
I mean, so the cover of Avengers right before Secret War is Tony and Steve fighting.
Oh, yeah. Here.
So, no offense.
Well, there looks like two Tonys and two Steves.
Yeah, two Steves fighting.
Well, so, it's the covers of two different
books.
Issues.
Books, yes. So... In all fairness, no offense to Mark Millar, but total offense to Mark Millar.
Yeah. It's okay.
In this Avengers
you
run...
You bought Chrononauts today. You're allowed to, bitch.
I'm about to. In this Avengers run, I have felt the rift between Steve and Tony really build. Civil War, it was so immediate.
It
was so immediate.
It was in your face.
Yes.
Immediate.
And then, like, everyone... That's all anyone takes from Civil War is that rift.
And despite this entire arc starting with Cap being kicked out of the Illuminati, there is still that build-up and that rift.
When Steve
finds out, and then everything just collapses.
When you go back to the way Avengers started, it was Steve going to Iron Man about making them bigger, about making them a
machine. The world,
Avengers world. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And so it all deals with, to me, the idea that Steve asks Tony if... He asked Tony to do something, and he didn't realize what he was honestly asking.
Yeah.
And this is one of those moments where, if you read the whole thing, you realize it's all Steve's fault, and he's just blaming Tony for...
It's not Steve's fault.
Not Steve's fault, per se, but he asked Tony to do all of this.
That's like blaming...
He asked him to take the Avengers to the next
level.
He just wasn't ready
for
what
it was. You can definitely see old
compass.
Cap in the...
What he meant by next level is what we see in the mainline Avengers book. He never intended anything like what the...
But
Illuminati
if you look at the mainline Avengers book, even Steve feels out of place with what they're doing now.
Well, yeah, he definitely... The Cabal in charge, doing all that stuff they're doing. Yeah,
He's lost sight of what... The original intention was.
The character of Steve Rogers, I don't think there's any way he can't feel responsible, even if he's not, just because of the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He was in the thick of it, in the middle of it. If he just would have maybe met them halfway, they wouldn't have gone the entire way.
Yeah.
He can't do that. He can't compromise things like this, and I don't think he's wrong to not compromise.
I don't think he's right or wrong either way. It was
going
to happen.
What I'm saying, really, is that it's... This has built the rift.
The incursions were going to happen anyway, though. The incursions were going to happen anyway.
Yeah. What else came out last week?
Star Wars.
Actually, as I said, New Avengers was, you know, the most memorable book from last week, but...
What's your pick? Oh.
My pick's actually Thor.
Oh, great
Because
book.
I thought it was just overall a better comic.
Yes.
We've got a lot of good humor where Thor's like hacking a bunch of trolls to pieces, and he's like, "Who is this new Thor?"
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I keep saying Thor instead of Odinson, which I guess I should say Odinson to make it not confusing. Yeah. But
you should actually call him Thunder Bridges.
That was another great moment.
That great moment
with Jane Foster. That's emotional and funny because like she's like, "So what am I supposed to call you now? You can call me whatever you want as soon as you get ready. It's getting better."
Yeah. Thunder Bridges.
Yeah.
She calls him good.
But the overarching appeal of this is, who is this new Thor? Right?
I've been confident so far that it's Roz Solomon.
Me too. Jason Aaron is not, he's not going to make it that easy.
So close to making it seem like Roz Solomon, or actually confirming that's Roz Solomon, I actually think that it's not Roz Solomon.
That's exactly, that's too much. He's not going to pull a Red Hulk. Jason Aaron wouldn't give you that story again.
It's hard to see where the bait is going, because he's definitely baiting us.
It's almost baiting you towards her, and then he's going to like, nope. It's Black Widow.
It's almost certainly someone from Earth who's not from Asgard. It's
probably not a hero.
Probably not, like, on the cover they have, like, a Captain Marvel or Scarlet Witch. Yeah, no, certainly not them.
Well, why not all of us think about this? Where was the hammer?
On the moon.
Was on the blue of the moon.
Okay. Well, Thor points this out in the... Okay, Odinson points this out in the issue.
That anyone could get there, supposedly. Like, but
couldn't have been an Earth. Like, oh, wait, yes, it could. It's on the blue. Right?
Yeah. But here's the thing about how many humans just have the access to the blue of the moon.
I don't even know anymore.
But not more than an Avenger would.
I don't even know anymore, dude.
It seems like everybody can
get into space
just
now.
Going, why would she just go there?
We can be extremely confident that it's not Jane now.
Yes, we can be extremely confident.
So, I really, that just leaves Roz, but then, like, the way that they make, like...
Dude, I'm telling you.
Let's call Roz. It's gonna be like Roz Captain is there. Like, if she didn't answer, because she's Thor. That just seems like...
Yeah.
Without them making it explicit that she's Thor,
that
seems like a lot.
Let me text Roz. Roz, are you the new Thor?
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's my awful, terrible, one of the many Jules theories that no one agrees with, but might totally be true.
Oh, this will be great.
It's going to be Captain Marvel. No. She hasn't been in a single issue of Guardians of the Galaxy since this started.
But she's been in her own book. I don't think they're going to give it to anybody who's already got their own book. Why does Captain Marvel need to have two books?
That seems like such a...
Are you seriously going to say that when we read Wolverine in four books
at one time? That's
no, it's not different.
It's completely different. Wolverine is completely different from Captain Marvel.
I think, knowing Jason Aaron, he's going to go with the weirdest, most
choice. You are right, because you said that no one would agree with you.
It's got to make sense.
But it could not... It's Jason Aaron.
That's just...
It could not make sense. That's the most sensible
From like a shared universe perspective, Captain Marvel's already exceptionally jacked.
Why give her a hammer?
Yeah.
And all this power of Thor.
But she felt like she needed the hammer, which she probably... she's stronger with Thor power, sure.
Though, to play devil's advocate, Odinson is pretty damn powerful without
the hammer.
Worthiness and all that. So, I think it's Groot. That's as good of an answer as Carol Danvers.
No, it's not. She's on the cover.
Everybody's on the cover.
It was great. All of her internal monologues would just be, "I am."
all of these people make sense. Minus, is that one of the granddaughters?
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
That's another one of them.
Because none of these people on this Thor cover. Thor number what, 6, 9?
Well, there's Roz.
You know, Mike says none of them.
I don't think it's any of them now.
It could be somebody we don't even know.
It can't just be someone we don't know. That'd be the lamest reveal ever.
It would be kind of lame.
Susan from the Bronx.
It has to matter.
Yeah. It's some bus driver from Cleveland.
Well, back in the day when apparently Steve Ditko and Stan Lee had a big falling out over the identity of the Green Goblin. Team Ditko didn't want to make it Norman Osborn because what's the odds of it's someone else that he knows? Stan Lee had the right of it because that would have been so lame if it's just some guy.
Some random guy who we've never met.
It has to have some sort of impact. And in order for it to have an impact, it has to be someone you know.
Roz is the only other option. Now that Jane is eliminated,
everything points to Roz.
Yeah.
Now that's why I think it can't be.
Jason Aaron has me defeating myself on this because now it seems like it's too obvious that it's Roz.
I'm telling you, he's not Jeff Loeb. He's not going to make it. He's not going to bait you the whole time and then give you the answer you expect.
This story arc's already better than the Red Hulk run, because they're not like having
Big Gun.
New Thor's not punching the Watcher and stupid shit like that.
No. Yeah,
who's also dead, but
yeah, definitely a great book, great series. Book. Jason Aaron, again, we said this about the Avengers run by Hickman. I think this Thor run could go down as one of the best in history by Jason Aaron, all the way back to God Bomb and all that.
God Bomb,
the whole God Butcher,
God Butcher, God Bomb,
brilliant.
Those are those might be the best Thor story arcs I've ever read, ever.
Yeah, they're great.
They're so good.
Jason Aaron is awesome. And his Southern Bastards, hopefully it's back next week.
Yes. But hey, I was worried when Asad Rabik would no longer be on the book, but this new guy,
Dauterman, has done great.
Russell Dauterman, he's outstanding.
He's
The scene where like they're at the hospital with like the scenery there—that's
it's outstanding. He really is.
Picture of Heimdall when he's using his all-seeing eyes.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's outstanding work.
Yeah,
across the board.
Yep, totally agree. Russell Dauterman.
Russell Dauterman.
I think he's exclusive to Marvel now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
he is.
He's a young gun.
That's quite a boon for Marvel. Man.
Yeah, they're lucky to have him, man.
Top shelf stuff, guys.
Awesome. I'll go next. Star Wars number 3.
Good book.
Action roller coaster ride. Just a really fun action comic.
Not to be confused with Action Comics.
Yeah, not to be confused with that crap ball. But yeah, Star Wars, for the first couple issues, we got a lot of reintroductions. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, here's Luke again. Hey, here's Han. This one, no. It's all action. You know these guys, and here they go. Same thing with Vader in this. There's not really a bunch of backstory.
Vader has been pretty BA throughout the series so far.
He's mean.
Punking Luke, and then he like takes down a AT-AT with just the Force.
Han says it all. How many times we have to kill this guy?
How many times we have to kill this guy?
He's been,
love it.
Two occasions I can think of that he's been crushed by like an entire building's worth of rubble and just ain't no thing. Just stands up. Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Wasn't even shit. Whatever.
C-3PO bringing the comic relief, you know, just like he did in the movies. Great book.
And you get to see Chewbacca be pretty
good.
Yeah,
we get to see Chewbacca be a badass.
It's a good fun book.
There's nothing really. It's just
it's
fun.
It's good.
It's a popcorn.
It's like Star Wars.
It's like Star Wars. It's good, clean fun. Some sad news. Cassidy is leaving the book after issue.
You had to know that was coming.
Yeah, who didn't
see
that?
We knew that was
coming. He's only good for 3 issues.
Cassidy, he was like the first 3 issues on like Uncanny Avengers, wasn't he?
4.
Yeah.
Whatever.
3 or 4.
First story arc.
And they took forever to come out.
It did.
It was not on time.
I was talking to Gomer about this earlier when you were so late.
He was so late today.
Well, we'll let that go.
I'm not letting it go.
Of course you won't.
Astonishing X-Men was such a treat because that's one of those few cases where you do have John Cassidy on a book for a really long time.
Long
time. 24 issues, 2 years.
Planetary was such a big deal.
It was 24 issues. And a giant size, it was 25 issues. And it took 3 years to come out.
It was great, though.
It was beautiful.
It's easily my favorite X-Men.
Totally worth the wait. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying it wasn't worth the wait.
That's the trade-off you have to make for these outstanding artists. Very few are able to do it in a timely manner.
Now, what I am excited about...
it's not their fault, though. It's not their fault comics come out every month.
No, but the artist who is coming on can churn it out faster.
Stuart Immonen.
He could do 2 books a month.
I'm happy.
He did 2 books a month for a long time there.
Yeah, I'm excited to see
a worthy tag-in.
Totally worthy tag-in. His art is incredible.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the change. Hopefully the story arcs stay arcs. You know, I want to see a finish to the first 6 issues. You know, I want to see some wrap-ups. I don't want to see it just continuing on and on and on.
I
want to see something happen, an end, a finality to something.
That's an inherent sort of drawback of this book is that they are kind of locked into continuity here.
Agreed, but they can still
They could literally end the arc with where Empire starts.
And they're not going to do that.
They could.
They're
not
going to.
They're not. I mean, not this current arc. I mean, they could end.
Oh, the series.
Aaron could end his run. A new writer could come in, and they could start in between Empire.
With some
and
other
Jedi.
Star Wars news, they're doing another Star Wars book that's supposed to take between episode 6 and 7.
What's that one going to be called?
It's
like Rebels
sure.
something.
No, Rebels is different. There's a Kanan book coming out, and that's just with the Rebels book, Rebels TV series.
Yeah,
this is going to be a new comic just to fill in the gaps between 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe. I don't know yet. I'm not sure if the market can handle 5 Star Wars.
Do they have a creative team announced?
I don't think so.
I think the market can handle 5 Star Wars.
I don't know.
The market can handle 6 X-Men books that don't
That's
sell very well.
Star Wars
right.
is one of the
That's
biggest
different.
Properties in all of everywhere. So I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure they'll handle it.
Cool.
Whether they'll be good or not is a different story, but...
I also read Bill and Ted's...
Let's get
to number
pick,
one. Do you have a pick?
I have a pick.
What's your pick
East
this week?
Of West 18 was
awesome.
Incredible.
I'm so behind
another
that
Hickman
series.
Book.
Another Hickman book. This plot, spoiler alert, has continued with Babylon, the Son of Death, and the premiere of Mal.
I am so
it's
far behind
brilliant.
In this series.
The issue was awesome.
In case you didn't catch that, he just talked about a book where they deal with the son of the personification of death in Chairman Mao's granddaughter.
Yes. It's awesome. It's awesome.
It is.
It's a brilliant book. The issue... East of West has been so infrequent, it's hard to when I read an issue to get all the way back into it. But this one was on point.
That's the reason why I wait for things like East of West and for even good books like Saga. Pretty much all my indie books I get in trade just because...
Oh, no.
They read better
as arcs.
Yeah, they read better
it's
as arcs. And
so good, though.
It sucks to have to wait. Good.
I mean, this is it. You said 18?
18.
Yeah, that means they're probably going to release East of West Volume 3, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's
another nice thing about Image is once they've completed the single issues, then the volume is out
the next week.
Next week.
Yeah. The very next week. They're very good they're very good about giving the readers exactly what they want in Image. And yeah, they're a creator owned company. They don't have any agenda. They just want to sell damn comic books.
But that book has always been like in between each issues, because Hickman does so much.
He does.
He does a lot.
Where does he find the time?
He's writing 24/7.
And he's doing the flagship Marvel title. Yeah. He's doing...
Titles.
Manhattan Projects, yep. East of West.
Dead in the Dying, apparently now.
Are they still doing that time travel one? Was it like Red...
The Red... No.
Red Wings?
Red Wing, no. No. That came and went. And so did his Secret... That came and went.
Shield. I don't know what the hell ever happened to that.
It's coming back.
That's why I tell you he's now going to leave Marvel because he does want to finish Shield out.
He's done with that, dude.
It's been like over a year.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. But so East of West, every issue I read, I'm just beyond into it. It's really good. But because so much time spans between each issue, I keep forgetting. Is this really worth it? Should I pick this up this week? Yeah. And then I read it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is brilliant. Yeah. It's absolutely brilliant.
It's hard when the indie books have come out so far. Usually you want a book every month.
And it was one of those...
And you don't get that every month.
I read those back to back. I read Avengers, New Avengers 31, then East to West 18. I'm like, oh yeah!
Yeah.
The man is a genius.
Nice.
It's so much sci-fi for two books.
Kudos,
when
Mr.
one
Rick
is supposed to be
He's
a capes
great.
Book.
I think he does need a break from Marvel.
Everything.
His indie stuff is still going strong.
He said,
from
2 years ago when he started the Avengers run, he had through issue 60-something all plotted out in his head.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We're on 40-something now.
What a big head.
Yeah, I think we're at 40-something
I don't know how
now.
You plot like that, man.
I don't know, man.
Cool. Anybody else read anything fun? I read the Bill and Ted Triumphant Return. This is a mediocre book.
Last week they had a variant cover for Superman that was Bill and Ted.
Very good.
They were like right next to each other.
Movie, two aliens who can't read.
The movie variants have been very fun. I'm sure we'll talk about some other variants in our next podcast we're recording.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Do you have another book you want to talk about?
Oh, shout out Ant-Man 3 was really good.
Awesome. Yeah.
I've really been enjoying that book. Beyond it being one of my favorite characters, Nick Spencer does a really good job of bringing his sense of humor to that character.
Yeah.
Plus, Nick Spencer has always been one of those guys who can pull old issues into the issue. And Taskmaster shows up, and he talks about Scott Lang
Taskmaster.
And Taskmaster's entire history, which is actually a lot. Scott Lang's first appearance as Ant-Man starts with Taskmaster. So Scott Lang calls him his arch nemesis, and Taskmaster's like, what?
Yeah, nice.
You're like the third-rate Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I think you're the one with the kid. I don't know.
I feel bad for Taskmaster. There's that great moment in a Siege where like he's like, finally, I got to fight you again, Captain America. I'm not even sure who you are.
Yeah.
Yes. No, and
I mean, that's awesome.
No, and
it's
the
so
best
fun.
Part about it is he calls him out, dude, what are you even about? That color scheme with the skull pirate thing and the cap shield? Pick a theme.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, Taskmaster has the worst costume.
It is kind of just like someone threw villain themes, like threw them at a wall, and like the ones that stuck to the wall,
swashbuckling boots with the pirate skull thing, and then he wears the hood, and he's got the cap shield. And, I don't know where he's going. Yeah.
Oh, but
that.
Real quick, Miss Marvel was really good. Artist on the series, Takeshi Miyazawa. She was great.
It's a good book.
Consistently, this book is outstanding.
One of the best books they're publishing.
Easily one of the best books they're publishing.
They're bringing
right
more of the Inhuman aspect into it. Like, she fights another Inhuman in this issue who has lightning powers, kilowatt.
And she's been spending a lot of time training on New Atlan.
What's this person's name? Oh, whatever. But she's like training. She has like the Eye of the Tiger t-shirt on while she's training. Yes. That was a great touch.
Nice.
just consistently outstanding stuff.
Cool. There are a few. Image number one, Surface number one was awesome. Great sci-fi book. Looks like it's going to have a lot of emotional stuff happen later on. It's a girl who's looking for her sister on Titan and takes something called the Southern Cross, the ship to Titan to see her sister. Interesting book. Surface number one.
Oh yeah, Surface.
Interesting read. Alice Cott wasn't my cup of tea, but still a good start to what should be a fun series.
Has good starts.
Yeah,
Alex Cott's one of those writers where he's got really good ideas, but I feel like he overly explains most of what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
And it comes off just a little too thick.
Yeah, this book felt like that too. And I know you read this, Jewel. Spawn Resurrection 1, how was it?
It was good. It was good. Paul Jenkins is a great writer, and he makes characters who you would never like.
Yeah.
Good.
Greg Coppola needs to be back on that art.
He is coming back.
He needs to be back on that art. Then I might buy it.
Yeah. And then I'm going to drop Batman.
I think I'm dropping Batman. Batman announced that you're getting some RoboCop suit. I'm not sure
if I'm
not
in
that.
I'm not in it.
It looks like dude from Appleseed.
I'm probably going to pick... I dropped off of Batman when Zero Year ended its first third of its story arc when it was like 12 issues in.
Yeah. Saying all that, Endgame has been really good.
I'm going to pick up Endgame and trade.
Pick it. It's it. You know, I like
I'm
Endgame.
I'm on the fence with Endgame.
I like Endgame because it's one big joke.
I've heard what they're doing with Joker, and if that's true, that's incredibly idiotic.
I agree.
You know what? It's good because so many people believe it.
I don't believe it.
Because there's just no way. There's just no way.
If it turns out to be true, Scott Snyder has really overstepped what he thinks he can get away with.
Yeah.
No, you know, I think the last issue is pretty much all Scott Snyder wanted to do with Batman in this joke.
I don't know. Well, if this is the joke, I don't know what that RoboCop thing is. Because that's funny.
That's a bad chapter.
But Endgame
isn't
funny.
Sounds like we should wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, this is brought to you by OutrightGeekery.com and ComicCity2.com, our favorite comic book shop in the whole wide world. They're located in Madison, Tennessee. If you're in that area, come in, check them out, and also check out their website. There's a link at Outright Geekery. Listen for our This Geek in Music artist. That artist is The Colored Parade. The song is I'm Indestructible. We'll have the full track at the end. Thanks to Hot Sauce and Coffee for that, and until next time.
Hangman, hangman, slack your line. Slacky just a while, for I think I see my papa coming, traveling many a mile, traveling many a mile.
unexplainable. Try to tear me to bits and pieces. Is this your way of being facetious? I'm unbreakable. Till the devil comes to claim me, looks like God will never save me. I'm untouchable, untouchable. I'm indestructible.